Let's see. What do I need to do to get ready? Let's see. I've already put the lights up outside the house. Got the Moravian Star up. Need to get the Christmas tree. You think we're going to get that today? Maybe. Then, of course, we got to get it ready and bring it in the house and put it up. And then we got to find the lights and got to go up in the attic and find all the other decorations and put on the tree and then somehow tie it to the wall so the cats don't bring it down. And what else do we got to do? Oh, got to make sure that the thing down at the bottom is clipped when we put the water in so the cats don't drink the water and get sick. And oh, presents. Got to get those. Man, there's so much to get ready. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. How do you prepare the way? I mean, really prepare the way. Not just putting pretty lights outside or inside or getting all the stuff out of the attic, or how do you really prepare? Part of the good news is that the work of preparation has already begun. See, preparation, and this is indeed good news, thank God. Well, God is preparing the way even before we can imagine what on earth it is we need to do. God is already at work preparing the way. You know that light up there? Last week we talked with the kids about how that star over Bethlehem was like a symbol shining out that below this star God is at work. Well, as we pointed out in the children's story last week, where is God at work? Right here and everywhere. This is a place where God is at work preparing the way. And even before we can think of what we need to do, God is already doing. Is that good news? Is it? It is good news. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us a clue here with the beginning, really, of our part of preparation. I mean, there is some hard work and discipline involved in the whole process. But never lose sight of the fact that the work is the Lord's, and not just ours. Because so often we mistake that. We think that we got to do it before God will even start working on us. How many times do we have to say, many people think that they've got to have it all together before they can even step into the good news, be a part of this thing called church, God's people. God is already at work. So in many ways, the beginning place is, well, how does Paul put it? Let me get my glasses out and put them on. Paul says here, as he's writing to the folks in Philippi, were you listening? I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy. Gratitude is the beginning place. Even as we look and see a lot of work to be done. Thanksgiving. How appropriate it is always to have kind of a holiday that focuses us on Thanksgiving before we enter this thing called Advent and a new year. I thank my God every time. because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And then he has that wonderful verse. I'm confident of this. And hear it well. The one who began a good work, and did you catch that? Who begins the good work? Come on. Can we be a black Baptist church for a change? Who is the one who begins the gift? God. Of course, God initiates. The one who began a good work among you, in you, will bring it to completion. Did you hear that? God begins the work and God completes the work. Hear that as good news. It's not all on us. Now, that doesn't mean we escape responsibility, not by a far shot. But God's very much a part of the process. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ, this is what we're talking about when we think of Advent. It's not just getting ready for Christmas. It's getting ready for the next step in God's, what God's going to be doing. And we don't know the time. We don't know the place. We don't know all the details. We just know that there is a new page that will turn one day. I mean, for these early believers, they expected that page to be turned immediately. And maybe that page was being turned then, but it still hasn't fully happened. This thing we are waiting, the great adventure of God's coming kingdom. It is still coming, but it's not yet here. But God will bring it to completion. God is at work in you. And then it comes down, and this is the verse I want to focus in just for our time, because Paul has a word of gratitude that he has woven into his time of prayer. And then he says, this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more. It's a prayer for love. Not just any kind of love, though. Though all loves are woven into the great love. It's for God's love, the agape love, what I would call tough love. And I call it tough love because, not just because it is, how shall I put it? Tough. I think when we think of the word tough love, we often think of addictions and how within the recovery program that is part of so many people's lives, there is that thing called tough love where family members need to be tough and not become enablers of an addiction. And that is tough, to jump out of behaviors that enable people to do stuff that they shouldn't be doing, the things that ultimately tear them apart. It is tough. And the ability to say not yes, but no, is important. And yes, by tough love, there is that firmness, there is that sense of being able to say no, and remembering that no is really a yes in disguise. That such love is love and not anger. But by tough love, I don't just mean that kind of love. I mean a resilient kind of love, a flexible kind of love, a kind of love that is able to move with what happens in life. Tough love. That is Paul's prayer for the people in Philippi. That is a prayer, really, for us. Not just us who stand on one side of an addiction or one side of somebody who is going through a hard time, but for us who are maybe in the middle of this, that we might have the resilience, the flexibility to be able to move with what God is doing in our lives. That the bad things that do happen may have, not that God intends things to happen that are tearing us apart, but that God is working through these things to bring about something better. You could say that the story of the Bible, as it all fits together, realizing that the Bible is really a library, that the Bible is a combination of stories told one after the other, but this is, in many ways, the story of the steadfast love of the Lord, which is another way of saying tough love, steadfast, enduring, but also flexible. I mean, the story of the book that is our book is a story about how God was flexible enough to move and respond to when people weren't doing what they should be doing, what he intended them to do. How God shifts and moves. And I know we have this thing that God's will, God's word is immutable. It doesn't change. But God does, in fact, change God's mind. God sent his son. God changed in that way. Of course, that's part of a broader picture, and we can't pick out all the little things in that. The wider story of God's redemption and the steadfast love of the Lord, which never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm quoting from Lamentations, by the way. Tough love. Tough love is a turning kind of love. It's a turning kind of love. Well, that's what the prophet, the harbinger, whatever you want to call him, John the Baptist, cried out. Repentance. That's what repentance means. Not just to be sorry, but to turn. To turn in the directions that God is calling. To turn. And to be able to turn requires a love in us that is flexible enough to shift, to move, to alter. You know, just like one of our favorite stories about shifting and moving and turning is the story of what? The prodigal son that Jesus told. Story of a man who took what was his and went off into a far country and kind of wasted it. And he came to a point, a turning point. And he had the wherewithal within him to make a shift toward home. Toward the steadfast love, if you will, of his father. Not counting on that love being there, but it was there nonetheless. And the waiting father responded with love. We know that story. It's a turning kind of love. The love that enables us to turn. God's tough love is a turning love. It is also a forgiving love. Just like love is not a word we should toss out lightly. Neither is that word forgiveness. It is perhaps the most difficult thing we can do. Just like last week, I said something about how love, when it comes to especially the people closest to us, our family, is very difficult, and we're so tempted to let it go. And I had a brother come to me afterwards and say, you don't lose your love for that person. You don't stop loving him. You may not like him, but you always love them. So forgiveness may be one of the hardest things we ever do, especially when we have been hurt deeply. But it is God's love, what God is working in us and will bring it to completion. God empowers us to forgive. So this is actually forgiving power. And it is also showing or revealing love. Tough love. Love that is truly love. God's love is something that should not just be spoken about. It should be lived. We need to be able to see it. And so it is a love that is lived out. It is showing love. It is revealing love. And ultimately, it is also hopeful love. Because even when we cannot see the end result, that this love will make any difference in a person's life, or even our own life, it is love that does not lose hope. Advent is a time of looking ahead with hope, filled with that sense of love. As we said, Advent is a time, and Christmas is a time when we're going to be mentioning stories we have heard so many times before. One of the struggles for a preacher is trying to figure out something new to say after you've been saying the same things, reading the same stories, year after year after year after year. But the good thing is that God's always working through these stories as we recycle them. That's what we're doing. We're recycling them. We're not changing them, but how they work in our lives is taking on different forms. Just like we're being recycled. The person you were last year, it's not the person you are this year, is it? You're changing. God is at work. Let's celebrate.